everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth Presents. This week, we are going to be talking about the hot Netflix show called Squid Games. And no, early Kyler is not involved. Granny is not involved. But I think that would be a very funny parody if they were ever to get back together and do new episodes of Squidbillies minus one of the voices.
It'd be a good way to get rid of one of the voices.
Yeah, you're right. That would be a good way to get rid of it. I'm sure they have enough in the can where they could edit it where he's just killed like they did with Chef on South Park. Come on, children, let's all play with each other's penises. Anyway, it's the big hit. Everybody's talking about it. So we want to jump in and get some of those clicks. And I'm sure that most of you will tune away when you realize that we're all middle-aged white dudes who don't speak Korean and probably will mispronounce 80% of the names, unless you've all done your studying. I tried to listen, but I just don't get it. And not that I don't get it. I can't nail all of them. So basically what you have is a series that has captured the world, and I think 90 countries, it's the number one streaming show, which is pretty amazing for a guy who created a show that, when did he write this? Back in the early
2009.
2009, okay, the late last decade or the two decades ago, whatever. And he wrote it and it didn't really go anywhere, right?
Yeah, no streaming service or studio would produce it. They thought it was beyond what an audience would take for a show. I don't think it would have had the success it would have had if it came out 10 years ago.
No. What do you think 10 years ago? Would it have been bigger or would have flopped?
I think it would have flopped. I think it would have.
Or it would have been more cultish, you know?
Yeah, it would have had a niche market maybe, but yeah, not on the big scale like it has.
So when you watch a show like this, it puts me in the mind of a couple different shows and movies and stuff. Like Lost, it has a little bit of that since it's on an island and there's some backstory of a couple of the characters. Also, Battle Royale, which is a Japanese movie from the early 2000s. And then also, of course, Hunger Games, you know, because everybody's competing and they're trying to live. And there's one big prize at the end of the game. There's over 400 contestants that are scooped up from all over, I'm assuming Seoul or any major area in Korea, all put on an island to play Korean kids games, but with a deadly twist. And if you've watched the show, you know what we're talking about. If you haven't seen it, there's going to be spoilers in this video, so be careful to not spoil it for yourself. Jeff, by the way, good job on that art for this episode. I think it looks really cool. Maybe yeah, we'll do it or something. Creator, writer, director, Hwang Dong-hyuk. And I probably said it wrong, Hwang Dong-hyuk. And I hope he forgives me. He's the guy that came up with this amazing story. I was captivated. I think the first episode I watched, I said, I was going to watch another one. I ended up watching three of them. And I did it all in a couple of days. What'd you guys do? The same thing?
Yeah, I did the same thing. I started one before we recorded the last podcast. I only got like 20 minutes into it. I saw where he stole the money from his mom and then went to the track. Mm-hmm. And that was as far as I got. And then later that night, I watched three.
Yeah. And you liked it, huh?
Yeah. And then over the weekend, I watched all the rest of them.
So the main character of this story is named Gi-yun. And he's, like Jeff said, a gambler, a loser. He lives with his mom. He steals from her. He doesn't want to get a job. He has a daughter, so that puts him in the deadbeat dad, you know, mindset. She loves him, but I guess he only sees her on her birthday. And, you know, she has a rich dad. And, you know, the first episode really, it's called Red Light, Green Light, the first episode. And it just establishes this character and a couple of the others that he encounters. I forget where does he meet the guy who recruits him to play Squid Games? Is it a bus terminal or a
train? The subway terminal.
Subway terminal. And so these people know who's in debt because apparently he's in debt to some sort of mafia or a loan shark. You know,
yeah, he'd already signed away the rights to his body to the loan shark so that they could, which I guess is a big practice in that area, is for the mob to take a kidney to sell it on the black market and to make up your debt.
Yeah.
So yeah, he'd already signed away his rights to his body. So with that, I think that kind of was a precursor to him getting pulled into the game.
Yeah, some of the videos and articles that I've looked at say that the show is super popular in Korea, but the one caveat is they're embarrassed because it's showing that, you know, people have a debt problem. And you know, there's a couple tiers. You start off with the bank and you get the bank loan and you can't pay that back. Then you go to another, you know, like one of these predatory lenders and you get from them. And then when you can't get from the predatory lender, you go to the loan shark with is what 300% interest on things, you know, like the mafia here right. in the United States or whatever. But you really, all these people, all these contestants, again, 400 plus are all people that are super in debt. And the way to pay it off is to go do these games. And nobody really knows what they're in for yet. And the very first game in the very first episode is called Red Light, Green Light. And I think that is an American translation because they don't have that game there.
Yeah. If you watch the non-dubbed version, there's actually the doll sings a song. And when mm-hmm. she stops singing, that's when you're supposed to stop. So there's not really a red light, green light. It's just, it's a little nursery rhyme type song that she's that plays over it. So yeah, it's definitely a Korean game like Red Light, Green Light, but I guess that's the only thing they could put in translation to make it, you know, more acceptable to Western audiences.
It does really make sense. No one really knows what they're in for, and they're in this room that it's painted. It's like a movie stage, right? And the walls are painted and it's well lit because it's kind of outdoors, but it looks like they're on a pitch. And it kind of reminded me, did you guys see Apocalypto?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where the Aztecs or whoever they are, they take the people that they've kidnapped and they get their freedom. They have to run down this.
And make it to the woods. Yeah.
Yeah. Before they get killed by arrows or spears or whatever.
Yeah.
Put that into mind for me. But go ahead.
I was going to say, as we go through this, and there's Easter eggs that were just all, you know, throughout, like, you know, their main bunk room on the walls, there are actually symbols of every game that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you exactly which ones, if they'd have paid attention. And it becomes, as you get into the story, you start realizing that everything you see is a precursor to what's going to happen. It's written right into the show. I mean, that's what's the genius part about the show is you only start paying attention about three episodes in, but realize that you've missed then three episodes of clues.
Yeah,
that'll get you further, but it takes you a little while to figure that part out.
And you know, it's one of those layered shows where they're counting on you to go back and watch it again to figure everything out. Let's talk about, before we move on, a couple of the other characters. Of course, we talked about the main guy, Yoon. Then you have Cho Sang-woo, who is the guy that's from Ji's neighborhood. He's the smart guy that they all look up to. Turns out he's corrupt and he owes a lot of money for being a bad investor. And that's why he's there. You have Wang Jun-woo, the police officer who sneaks into the game because his brother is missing and he's looking for his brother. More on him in a little bit. Gang Si-byuk. See, these are terrible. She's the North Korean defector. And that actress is actually a model. But anyway, because I Google all these people, but she's the you know, the kick-ass one. She's the pickpocket who steals G's money.
At the beginning. Yeah. Putting him in the situation that he gets into.
Right. And of course we meet Oh Il-nam, who is the elderly man with a brain tumor who ends up being very important and integral. Like you're talking about those Easter eggs. When you mm-hmm. see the old man walking during Red Light, Green Light, and you see out the eyes of the robotic girl, or, you know, the doll that's turning her head, everybody's scanned but him. So that's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the first clue for him. That and the ability in his carefree attitude about the whole thing. You know, getting to play something that he hadn't played since he was a kid. And right. he was definitely the first one moving in the first game after the repercussions start.
I felt like George Costanza watching Home Alone. I was like, the old man got to me.
He did, though. He got to you. It's like, oh, I want this guy to live. And then he dies. And you're like, you think he's dead. And you're just, oh. But I had no idea what to expect. So in that first episode, Red Light, Green Light, when the players start playing and they you know, she turns around and says red light and they don't completely stop all the way. That's when all these guns just start shooting them and people start dropping like flies. There's blood everywhere. Of course, it's cartoonish violence, but it's there. You know, it's very Tarantino like. And it really, you know, the beginning of that episode, the first episode, there's a lot of establishing the character and the motivations and things like that. And that might bore some people. but don't get bored. Wait, because it gets better and better. And then it's just shocking, you know, from one things to the next, it just gets really, really shocking. And a lot of times when they're playing the games, when they're learning the games, you hear little clues like they're constantly playing Blue Danube, which is Johann Strauss. You guys know that song, you know, from, well, it's also in 2001, but
why they used it. Yeah, it was the same, you know, the reason that he wrote that piece was to, during that war, that 7-day war, mm-hmm. that he wrote it for, it was to, after the battles and before the battles, to calm the people down. And that's why it was written, and he used it in real life. And that's why they used it in the show, for the same principle. It plays after every game.
Yes.
That's what plays in the background.
And it's to calm you down. Now, that's cool. Right. I didn't know that he had written it for. You have these guys who are wearing red outfits. They're, I guess, the guards, but you don't really know if they're employed there or if they're also people who owe money and they decided to work there. Maybe they're people who made it through the game before. You don't really know, but they also have these distinctions by shapes on their head, square, circle, and a triangle. They all look like symbols that are on a PlayStation controller.
Right. And the circle, the hierarchy goes, the circles are the workers, mm-hmm. the triangles are the soldiers, and the squares are the managers.
Hey, that really actually works, because, you know, managers are usually square.
And the angles on the masks dictate a hierarchy as well.
I didn't know you that. Have the masks.
The leader, the front man, he has the multiple, you know, mask, but then you have the VIPs later that have the intricate masks that are there showing that they have all the power because they're the ones that perpetuate the game.
So as we go through the first episode, Red Light, Green Light, you know, the main protagonists that we're all rooting for or that we know about, you have the gangster guy, you have the North Korean girl, you have the kind of the slutty mouthy chick, who I think is kind of funny. I don't remember her name, so I'm going to call her slutty mouthy chick. And then you have the introduction of the Pakistani kid, who we find out his backstory, that he's probably there illegally and he's working in a sweatshop and his boss is a dick. So his boss owes him money. He ends up killing him. Or no, he puts his hand in a machine and it destroys his hand. I don't know if the guy dies, but he ends up, you know, he's up shit creek. So he has to figure out something to do. So he ends up going as well. And they play the red light, green light game. And again, all the main people that we care about make it to the end of the game, but they're all like, what the fuck? And then we move on to the next episode, which is hell.
This was the part that I was kind of bored with, when they all decide to leave the game and they let him go.
Right. Oh yeah, that's right, because they have a vote. A vote, and one of the rules of the game is if the majority of people decide that they don't want to do it anymore, they can all leave. And so they have this vote, and it's funny that the deciding vote ends up being the old man.
Hell no.
Yeah,
because of that break also includes a dive into each one of the characters' personality. And,
yeah.
And it shows how foreshadowing of what's going to happen. Like the one guy escapes from the other gangsters by jumping off the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That foreshadows later. The girl threatens to slice the guy's throat in that foreshadows later. I mean, everything that happens with these characters and how they're going to end up is told in that hell episode, because they foreshadow each one of their deaths.
Nice. I have to rewatch it again. It's not a show I'm going to watch 1,000 times, but I want to watch it another run through so I can pick up on everything.
Yeah.
Then we move on from that show. Or is there a game in that one? What game is that they get to it? Is that the tug of war where they start?
That's next. They don't have a game in that episode. They're just getting back to it.
All right.
So yeah, that was the thing I didn't like. I was just like, we all know you're going back in the game, so just go back in the game. Get to it already. And I know you needed all that,
right?
Establishment of their characters and the foreshadowing and all that. But I was just like, get back in the game. Everybody knows you're going to go back.
Yeah. Well, the third episode is called The Man with the Umbrella, and this is the episode where you see the cop, who's Jun Ho. He infiltrates the game by disguising himself as one of the workers. And he ends up finding out that it's on an island. And so he's starting to gather clues. There's no cell reception, but he has his phone and he has his service revolver with him. So this is where the teams start, you know, getting together and making alliances. You have Jiun, Sangwoo, player 001, of course, the old man, and player 199 team up in the second game. The players pick up a stamp shape out of what is it? They pick up out of a bag or something. There's shapes on the wall, and they have to line up behind it and pick a right. shape.
They have to pick one of these. Yeah, of these shapes.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't know why they have to pick the shape, but come to find out it's the honeycomb.
Right. So it's this really hard piece of sugar candy, and the shapes are stamped in them, and they have to cut the shape out without it breaking or crumbling at all. And if they break it or crumble it, they get shot in the head and die immediately. So they have to figure
no pressure.
Out. No pressure. And they have only a certain amount of time to do it. And so they, you know, they each kind of figure out a way. One person, I think that girl has a lighter, right? The slutty one has a
grandma,
lighter.
Grandma, yeah.
Yeah, she has a grandma. She has a lighter, and she heats up the needle, and she's able to cut the shape out. G's having a hard time figuring out how to do it. So he starts licking the back of it. So that real thin layer where the impression is will melt it and pop it out. But I imagine doing the umbrella would be the hardest one.
Yeah, he really kind of screwed himself. But also, it showed that his friend or a childhood friend that's also there at that point, you knew that he knew what was coming. He had known because the one quiet girl had escaped for a little while and climbed through the vent system, and she mm-hmm. saw them making the cookies or that's the. Right. The discs. So, or she didn't know what they were, but she explained the process. And when he heard what the process was, he knew what they were going to do and what the game would be. And basically was setting everyone else up to fail because he picked the easiest shape. And again, it just keeps foreshadowing him being treacherous through the whole thing.
And that's when grandma pretended that she had a gastrointestinal problem, right?
Yeah, that was ridiculous. She was in there in the bathroom like a heroin addict trying to pass a bowling ball.
I need to watch it with the subtitles so I can hear what their voices really sound like. Because a lot of the voices were cartoonish, over the top. I thought hers was really annoying. You have the fourth episode comes around. It's called Stick It to the Team, where we find that there's a doctor who's one of the contestants that's secretly working with the guards because they're selling body parts. They're selling organs, right? The black market.
Yep. Yes and no.
Yes and no. Okay. Explain.
Yes, that they are selling them what they think are to the black market. But if we're explaining this whole thing and spoilers, we've already said that. They are collecting good organs, hence Ilnan replacing them on himself to stay alive as long as he had. He was right. The one who was purchasing.
Because he reveals the fact that he has a brain tumor, so he has nothing left to live for, and that's why he's playing the game. That's why they all think this old guy is playing the game.
Right.
Also in this episode is the one where they all fight with each other as they're going to sleep. And there's a bunch of murder. They start killing and stabbing each other and fighting and beating the shit out of each other, all the contestants. And every time one dies, more money goes into the prize pool.
And it only stops when Ilnan says he's scared and he says, we're all going to die if this doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. And then he immediately turned the lights back on and everybody came in.
Yep.
So it just keeps rolling, and it's great writing. I mean, it's amazing writing, I wonder how many times this was revised over those 10 years that he tried to, you know, did he keep refining it and making it better and better and better? He had plenty of time to.
Yeah. Plenty of time to write all that in. And I'm looking at a thing here, so I can't see you guys. So jump in, Jeff, anybody who, you know, you want to talk if I'm blathering on.
I never understood where the money came from. Because they didn't pay anything to go into the game.
It was the VIPs.
And they were
betting.
Put a certain amount of money in on each.
Yeah, player. Well, I mean, the house, you bet on it just like at the beginning when main character was at the horse track and he was betting mm-hmm. on the horse track. It's the same. It's a mirror image of that, but with people. So you have the same higher group of people that have been betting on this game for the last 33 years.
Oh, okay.
And they have slowly, you know, the house always wins. So, I mean, you're, you know, you, they pay out one amount, but yeah, they got to fund this thing. So yeah, that's where it all comes from. It's a, you know, it's a story of the rich controlling the poor and
right.
being in control of everything. So you got to kind of look at it through that lens, through the whole thing.
And when we finally meet those VIPs, they all turn out to be scumbags, real wealthy scumbags. I did see one article today that I didn't read because of the headline. We need to talk about the crazy white people. And no, we don't.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The what they call them? The country gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stick to the team. The fourth episode ends with them starting the game, the third game, which is the tug of war. And it's this was the most harrowing game for me. I think because they have to basically the tug of war. First of all, they have to pick teams. And so they don't know what it's going to be, except for, of course, the doctor knows. And he assembles his team, I believe, with who does the doctor end up with? The gangster.
The gangster.
Yeah. Now, the gangster with grandma, they had established that, you know, she banged him and he banged her and they were going to help each other. Well, he doesn't want any women on the challenge because he knows what it's going to be. So she's fucked. So basically, they use physics. Jiyeon's team uses physics to win their tug of war match. And, they're expecting more riots. So they barricade themselves in, the gangster guy realizes that, oh, maybe we better not do this. And so he tells his guys to not riot, not kill anybody. In this scene, we find out that the doctor is working with, or in this episode, we find out that the doctor is working with some of the guards and the facilitators, and they end up getting killed and strung out. So everybody sees them.
Yeah. I'm in that mogul.
Weird, yeah.
Yeah.
In that weird MC Escher, pink MC Escher staircase that they all walk through. But then they find out that there is a cop there, and they find out that Jun Ho is there, that he's in the front man's office snooping around, and he finds out that the game's been going on for over 30 years. I guess that's how that episode winds up. So now we're on, that was episode 5, which is A Fair World. They move on to Gaganbu. I don't know how to say that. Kanbu. The fourth game, the players are told to pair up. Now this is a very gripping episode because this is the one where they play marbles, right?
Yeah.
But when they pair up, they're like going to their main person.
Yes.
To compete with. And then it turns out only one of each team is going to make it.
Right. But yeah, this is the sad part. So Ji ends up partnering with the old man, mm-hmm. Player. And he's feigning. You don't know it at the time, but he's feigning like dementia or forgetfulness. And
right, he's got a brain tumor. So
yeah. Yeah. And the first person gets all the marbles and his partner gets killed, and then they realize what's going to happen. And that must really suck. So there's a married couple, and it's just crazy shit going on. This one's the tough one for me. I mean, they're all good. The one where they're doing the tug of war on the glass was just scary because, you know, there's tempered glass and then there's glass that'll break if you put any pressure on it and you don't know. So in that case, it was good to pick the last number. So you could, you know, the farther back you were in the numbers, in order that you would go, the more likely you were to live. One of the marbles was just sad because a lot of people that you like died, and only a couple people went on.
And also the clues with Ilnan with 001 too, talking about how it's a perfect representation of his house where he grew up.
Yes.
And where he played.
Did they allude, or do people think that player one is Ji's father?
Yes.
Okay. Because I mean,
that's what I took from it, was that he was.
That episode wraps up. And a lot of their close friends are dead and their partners are dead. And then we move on to episode 7, which is called VIPs. Player 69, who beat his wife in the marble game, commits suicide because he killed his wife. This is when we see all those guys in masks show up. And they also have weird angles and stuff. What's the point of all those angles and weird shapes?
I think just to set a hierarchy for who has power and who doesn't, based off of the amount of angles mm-hmm. on the masks. I've seen a couple of things where they were talking about, you know, the lower you get down on the pole, the smoother the mask is, but the higher up you go, the more angles. topping out with the VIPs who have the elaborate jewel encrusted multi-angle masks. But I don't think it's straightforward said. I think it's something you kind of have to read into it.
And this is when we see Junho, you know, he's playing a servant. So he's no longer dressed as a soldier. He's a servant with one of the different kind of masks on. And the Southern guy, the Southern gentleman guy, wants him to blow him or whatever. So he's being very creepy with it, makes him go to a room. This guy, by the way, keeps losing all of his bets. And so, I mean, that's a theme too. Everything he does, it fucks him up. And you know, trying to make Junho go down on him really fucks him up because he ends up being dead. He interrogates the guy for info and he escapes the island or whatever. But the front man sees him and gives him and chases after him. And the front man, we find out at the end, is his brother or so, right?
Yeah. Well, we thought the whole time that he's looking for his brother, who's one of the contestants in the in the game, because his brother disappeared.
Right. But then you find out that was his thing about coming back was he wasn't happy with winning.
Right.
He wanted to control it. But it is kind of, that one was kind of cool too, how he takes him out, but I don't think that there's a good chance that he's not dead either.
Yeah. I think if you don't see the people die on screen, there's a good chance we'll see him again, maybe next season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he, you know, you thought he was dead at one point and he comes back. So I think that they're still alive.
Right.
And this is, you know, my mind is all over the place, but this is the episode where we see the bridge with the tempered glass.
Yeah.
And again, real harrowing is if you break through the glass, psh, you get down on the ground and you're dead. So the three of them make it to the end. And that would be Ji-un, Sang-woo, and Se-byeok. And the two friends, you know, Ji and his friend, the guy that's a dirtbag and, you know, stole everybody's money. And then the North Korean girl, they all make it. And as they get to the end, there's an explosion and she gets shrapnel glass in her. So she's going to die anyway, going to bleed to death. But they get there and they sit down and they have a big steak dinner. But she was seriously injured in that. And she's definitely going to bleed out. So at the end of the dinner, each of them gets a knife. And now the three of them go into the room to sleep and they all have knives. And so you have just three people left. And that was kind of crazy as well.
The main character being himself goes for help for her.
Right.
And the other being himself takes advantage of that at the, you know, then so that he can take her out. In taking her out, it would just be down to those two at the end, he thinks.
Right. Right. And it ends up that she dies, and cause he cut her throat and everything. And then it's just down to those last two guys. And then in the other story, the other part of the show, Junho makes it back to land. He runs away. He calls his boss at the police station, sends a bunch of images and everything, but he gets caught. And that's when I believe he jumps off the cliff, right?
Well, he gets shot in the shoulder and then falls off the cliff.
Yeah. Now, does his brother get killed? I forget. It's all swimming in my head. The front man.
No.
Mm-hmm. Because he's there to still carry it on.
Yeah. Okay. So we get to 9, one lucky day. And so this is when they play the game Squid Game, which is the one that they open up with his kids, which is some sort of like hopscotch game, maybe here or like that.
With the same two characters from the opening
as kids. Adults.
Yeah.
They're adults. And Ji-un ends up beating Sang-woo, but he refuses to complete the game. He invokes the third clause to end the game so that he and Sang-woo can leave alive, but Sang-woo kills himself. Yeah. And then he says, use the money to take care of my mother. Now, another thing is the girl from North Korea, she has a little brother who's in an orphanage. And she also asks Ji to take care of her little brother, which he ends up doing. And he also takes care of Sang-woo's mom. He gives her some cash, right?
Yep.
Yeah, shit ton of cash.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And it was like $48 million compared to U.S. money. It was like 30 billion won.
Yeah. It's just shy of $50 million.
Yep. So he's depressed and sad. He wins. He gets dropped off in the middle of nowhere with a bank card, and he checks it. He's like, holy shit, I got all this money in there. But while he was there, he just, and you know, so many things happened to him. He, you know, his daughter has moved to the United States with her mom and stepdad. His mother died, you know, from sickness. And so he's depressed as fuck. And then I guess he just decides to get a haircut. He's look kind of like a bum. He's walking around all bummy and depressed.
Yeah, right? For a year. But, yeah.
Well, for a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he eventually decides to go get his haircut, and he ends up, you know, changing it. It's dyed red, and he cleans himself up. And then what happens then? He just decides to.
Well, the reason that he dyed it red, the director, he's given a few interviews now where he's explained that. And the red hair signifies him deciding that he'll no longer be the person that he was. There's no going back, and it's changed him completely. Plus, right. This is the persona that he wants to take on to use his fortune to now take down the Squid Game.
Okay.
Yeah.
He decides to take some of the money, go visit his daughter, and he's at the airport. And what happens?
He gets the car. Go ahead.
When he sees some people. That he sees the guy that recruited him into the Squid Game.
Yeah, trying to recruit someone else.
Yeah, trying to recruit someone else. And he goes over, he chases after him. And by the time he gets there, the recruiter guy is gone. But the guy that he gave the card to, the invitation to, is still there. And he like beats that guy up. And he's like, don't do it, man. And takes the card away from him.
And I skipped over a great big portion of this episode, didn't I? When how does he end up getting back together with contestant one? Or was this after the fact?
That's at the very end.
Yeah.
Okay. So he gets the card, he calls the number, and they automatically know it's him, and they tell him not to get involved, right?
Yeah. Well, he tells them that who he is, and they say, you know, take your money and fuck off.
Yeah.
But in figuring out the location,
mm-hmm.
and finding Ilnan, the old man, that ultimately becomes the final game that they play in the apartment, whether or not human beings are actually have the ability to be nice to one another, to actually be decent.
Yeah. There's a homeless man or somebody passed out drunk down on the street. It's snowing outside. And Ilnan says, if nobody helps him by the strike of midnight, then what happens? They had a bet. What was the bet? If nobody helps him by 12, then what?
I took it like that was the passing of the torch,
mm-hmm.
from him to him. He dies. If you look, he really dies thinking he won.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't realize that when he looks back from him dying, someone does stop and someone does help the homeless person, right? Before it finishes striking. Right. So in that was his 4, 5, 6. That was his way of knowing that what he was doing was right. He could take him down. It's kind of the full transformation from who he was at the beginning of the show to who he is at the end. That mm-hmm. that was part of that. That was the full transformation when everything is revealed to him, and he knows that he has the ability to at least try to stop it. And that's what he's going to do.
And that's when he snaps out of it, and he, you know, he takes care of the promises that he made to his friends who died. And he decides I'm going to fucking expose these people. Now, he wouldn't go see his daughter. And it's another thing is he keeps letting his daughter down. And at the end, he makes a decision that ultimately lets down his daughter. But we don't know if there is another season. I'm assuming that maybe he will be the person who takes over running the game. And that would go and fall in line with him being the son. So,
That was when you were talking about other movies that this is like the one that I didn't bring up then, but now that we've discussed the whole thing, Snowpiercer was a lot more in line with this than I realized by the end of it.
Okay.
Because in Snowpiercer, which was also a Korean film, you know, the whole, if you haven't seen Snowpiercer, spoilers, but the whole purpose of Snowpiercer was to create the next person to take over the leadership and continue on everything else. So, you know, in this, I think that was the same thing. He was looking for someone you think some, well, I don't, the whole father son thing is what throws me off, because I don't know if the whole time he was rooting for him, you know, if Ilnan was rooting for him to win so that he could take it over, or if he was just, if it's just coincidence that this was the guy that he picked to help along, because too many things are there in structure of the story, like Ilnan being 001, but him being 456, which was the last number.
Right.
So it kind of starts from the last to the beginning. There's lots of those types of things, numbers, games throughout the entire story.
Maybe it would be better served with a film.
Yeah. I think it could at this point, but it would be, it would, okay, it would be neat to have a film after the fact, you know, let this be the opening and explain the world and then give us a nice tight story as a movie.
Well, I'm sure this guy will be able to do whatever the hell he wants now, given how the show was. So basically, that's our rundown of the 9 episodes that make up the full season of Squid Game. You know, apologies if we butchered any of the names or anything. Jeff found some good articles that Dustin will put in the show notes, and you can also see them here in the YouTube video links, and also, you know, when we put out the audio version. But basically, Collider.com ranks all the episodes. That's a good article. And some of the smartest characters, you know, these blogs, these real good committed blogs like Collider and Screen Rant and the like, check those out and let us know what you think in the comments. Yeah. And that's another thing, like us, subscribe and comment. Before we wrap up, a friend of ours lives in North Korea. Or no, he doesn't. He lives in South Korea.
I was going to say, he moved to North Korea? How'd that happen?
He snuck across the border so he could go live in the land of the free. No, he lives in South Korea. He's an English teacher there and a professor. And a friend of his is a lawyer, and she's an English speaking lawyer. She started publishing a blog in case you wanted to find out the legality of some of the things. And, you know, we'll also include that link. But the first one is Squid Game and Korean Law, which is the first blog post. And so just to give you a little sample of it, this person whose name is Lawyer Hwang, and again, we'll put the link in. Ki-un stole his mother's debit card and withdrew money from a cash machine with the card in the first episode. For what charge will he be penalized? Now, this is interesting. Larceny is stealing his mother's debit card and withdrawing the money. Larceny, stealing the money of the owner of the cash machine. 3, fraud by use of computer, making data processed after inputting a false information in improper order. And then she tells you that, oh, he won't be penalized. Why won't he be penalized? Because he stole it from a blood relative. And if you steal from a blood relative, it says here in her blog that punishment shall be remitted. Therefore, he won't be penalized for stealing the card. So I think that's an interesting take on that. We don't, you know, a lot of people aren't going to be able to do that here in the United States. And the second blog post is Squid Game and Korean Law 2, Legal Advice for Ali. Now, Ali, of course, is the guy from Pakistan. So check that out and let us know what you think of that, too. Anything else, guys? Oh, I have one last thing. So if Early and Granny and Rusty Kyler and the sheriff were all somehow transported to play the Squid Game, who do you think of those four would make it?
The sheriff would have to make it pretty far.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe Rusty and the sheriff make it all the way to the end.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think so too. Although Granny might make it because she's so slow and
yeah, she'd be like 001.
Yeah, maybe.
I started the whole idea. Thing.
She created the whole thing.
Granny smuggling some smokes in there.
Oh God!
I got a whole carton of them.
Oh my God. I wish that show hadn't been. I wish that guy just had like not cared about the fact that Dolly Parton.
Yeah, I know.
And just shut up, you dumb fuck. Think of how fun that would have been.
You got to text Dave Willis, though, and ask him if Squids is going to do anything about Squid Game.
Oh, they got to. Got to.
Hey, we recommend it'd be a good way to get rid of Early. Like you said, you got all that audio and outtakes and all the voice reads and everything. Put it together, cut them out, have them get killed in the first 2 seconds, and then
yeah, the
start
first
a whole new season.
The season opens and they're on the field playing Red Light, Green Light, and
yeah,
early doesn't stop, and you can.
No, it'd be like Red Rover, Red Rover.
Yeah.
Or yeah, something. All the country games.
That'd be Granny genius idea. Shot, but it doesn't affect her because she's a square.
Oh.
All right, guys. I hope you liked our breakdown of the 9 episodes of Squid Game, and we'll do more of these if you guys like them. You know, old middle-aged dudes talking about cool shows. I'd rather watch that snooty guy who knows everything. Oh, we have that. We have Dustin.
Oh, that's me. Yeah.
Yes. And you're not snooty, though. You just know everything, and that's good. We will talk to you in our next podcast, and until that time, please remember to keep it canon.
Try again.